Good afternoon and welcome to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges and it's time for Midwest Beats, a program all about music, entertainment, and the people who make it. Today, we're going to take a little trip to Colorado. That's right. We're going to get high, Rocky Mountain high, that is. You see, John Denver's Almost Heaven is going to be coming to the theater at the Performing Arts Center. That's Theater at the Center in Munster, 1040 Ridge Road. With me in studio, two of the cast members, Stephen and Sarah, will be joining us. We'll also be talking to the director, Linda, in just a little bit. And of course, you'll be hearing some John Denver music. It's all coming up after your headlines right here on Lakeshore Public Radio as Midwest Beat gets ready to rock. Good afternoon. Thank you for supporting Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial, on the stream at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And today we're going to have a great show. It is time for Midwest Beats. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. And we're going to go back to the 70s and even a little before that, the 60s, the folk music scene. Groups like New Christy Minstrels, Chad Mitchell Trio, they were all the springboard for a young singer-songwriter named Henry John Dusendorf Jr. Yeah, you'll know who he is when you hear that pure tenor voice and you'll hear some great songs that I know you'll be singing along with. You see, today we've got in studio two young musician actors who are going to pay tribute to this artist in a show called Almost Heaven. It's coming to Theater at the Center at 1040 Ridge Road in Munster. A great venue. We'll talk about the venue, we'll talk about the show, and we'll get to know these two young talents. But first, let's do a song that, well, you just never really get to hear on the radio, and unless you're a fan, you may never have heard it. It's got some great Spanish guitar, some great piano, and of course that pure voice. This is a song about American icons, eagles and horses.
Who worship the earth. They gallop on feet of ivory, constrained by the wonder of dying and birth. The horses still run, they are free. My body is merely the shell of my soul, but the flesh must be given its due. Like a pony that carries its rider back home. Like an old friend who's tried and been true. I had a vision of eagles and horses high on a ridge in a race with the wind. Going higher and higher, faster and faster, on eagles and horses I'm flying. The heavenly heights, they know neither limits nor bounds. They're the guardian angels of darkness and light. They see all and hear every sound. My spirit will never be broken nor caught, for the soul's a free-flying thing. Like an eagle that needs neither comfort nor thought, to rise up on glorious wings. I had a vision of eagles and horses high on a ridge in a race with the wind. Going higher and higher, faster and faster, on eagles and horses I'm flying again, flying again, I'm flying again. My body is merely the shell of my soul. But the flesh must be given its due, like a pony that carries its master back home, like an old friend who's tried and been true. My spirit will never be broken nor caught, for the soul is a free-flying thing, like an eagle that needs neither comfort nor thought to rise up on glorious wings. I had a vision of eagles and horses high on a ridge in a race with the wind, going higher and higher, faster and faster. On eagles and horses I'm flying again.
Great stuff. All right, listeners, have you figured it out? I told you that was Henry John Dusendorf Jr. Did you recognize the voice? You might not have recognized the song, but you recognize the voice, I'll bet you. And you're saying, that was John Denver, wasn't it? Bing, ding, 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 you win. Nothing, but you win. Almost Heaven, John Denver's America is running February 16th through March 22nd at Theater at the Center in Munster. And I thought that was an ideal song to start with because the name of the show is John Denver's America, and those are two symbols of America, from the Great West to the Great Plains, eagles and horses, and a song that you may never have heard of before. It's one of his best, one of my personal favorites, and it's off the album that we're featuring today when we do play John, The Wildlife Concert, and it's in one of those albums that kind of fell between the cracks, but it's got some great players and great songs and a lot of deep cuts, too. In the studio with us, we have Stephen Romero Schaefer and Sarah, without an H, Geist, and welcome, guys, gals. Girl,
you.
Guy.
Whatever. Yeah. It's all good.
This is an interesting show. I just recently heard about this. I'm a big John Denver fan. I actually had the pleasure of meeting him and doing a feature on him. And as I told you, he was such a nice guy. And I really hope that comes through in this production because I know nothing about this production. Hopefully, by the end of the show, we'll all know a lot about it. But the way I got to know John is I did a review of his concert.
Oh, cool.
And he liked it. I don't know how he got it, but he liked it. He must have read his press. And I got a beautiful signed picture with a quick handwritten note that just said, thank you for the beautiful words. Glad you enjoyed my music. Thanks for coming. And he signed the picture to Tom. Thanks, John Denver. Aww. Peace.
That's sweet.
And
that's
him sitting on a fence in Colorado, and it's framed in my record store for those that want to come and see it in Hobart. But it's one of the many artifacts there. But he was just so nice. And then we wound up doing a feature together, a phone interview and some things we did. And I just remember him being so cordial, so polite, so genuine. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a lot of artists, and I've interviewed thousands of artists over the years of all different walks of life and entertainment business. And some are amazing people, and some not so amazing. Some you'd like to forget. Oh. And for that list, you can talk to me later. But John was just a unique guy. Now, it's going to take five actor-musicians to portray Almost Heaven, John Denver's America. Let's start with that. And then I want to get into a little bit of your individual backgrounds and how you came to this role and why these roles are important. But Almost Heaven, John Denver's America. Starting rehearsals soon, you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're just at the beginning of this for the two of you.
Yeah, the beginning, the learning, the the consuming process of John Denver.
So. Are you John fans before this? Were you fans? Were you familiar with him? Because you're young, and John died a long time ago.
I mean,
I wasn't super familiar with his work, but I realized in researching and preparing and rehearsing for this mm-hmm. that he's so prevalent in the culture that there was more about him that I knew than I realized. Like, Leaving on a Jet Plane is a song that my whole family loves and we sing all the time. And
I you had probably no, thought Peter, Paul, and Mary did it
yeah,
first.
Yeah, I had to tell my mom, I had to inform her that we were John Denver fans all along.
So.
And I recall my grandmother being very fond of John Denver, and I know that my father was as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from the Midwest, and so it's kind of like you have to. And and now after doing all this research and all this listening, absolutely, John mm-hmm. Denver is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Stephen, you're from South Dakota?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
When did you come to Chicago, and are you here full-time, or you still go back and forth?
Oh, yeah. I live in Chicago now. My family all lives in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is on the eastern side. But, yeah, I moved here about 3 years ago, and so sometimes I go back for, like, weddings and, you know, family events.
Did you move here for your career?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for acting. And
why Chicago as opposed to L.A., New York, or—
Man, I visited here and I really, really liked it. There was
Did
some...
you really like the winters? Really?
No, South Dakota. There's wind there. There's a lot more wind there.
I went to New York and that was cool and everything. And it was very, but then I had some friends who moved to Chicago and they're like, hey, you should come visit here. I was like, okay. And so I did. And I just felt a little bit more community and a little bit more accessibility in terms of the art that you want to do. Because mm-hmm. I had a lot of friends in New York who were doing like, not to disrespect any of that stuff, but the cruise ship things and a lot of the corporate stuff, which is fantastic work if you can get it.
It's steady money.
It's steady money, but
but it doesn't fire your creative soul.
Yeah,
does it?
You know, I'm not about being in a boat for like 6 months. So
just logistically speaking.
But so I came to Chicago with my roommate that I have currently from the University of South Dakota, and we're making it work. It's a good time.
Very cool. Sarah, what about you? Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from a suburb of Chicago called Naperville.
Ah, yeah. The home of the Rib Fest.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
One of the best festivals. That's the festival that every other community festival wants to be when they grow up.
100%.
That is amazing.
Yes. People come from all over to go to Rib Fest, which is wild. So I was just outside the city growing up, and then I went to school in Michigan, and I thought I might want to go to New York or something. And really, it's the same reason as Steve. There's something about the Chicago theater scene that is so, like, communal, and everyone's really kind, and there's a lot of space for new work, which I love. There's a lot of space for different kinds of theater than you see mm-hmm. in other regions. And it's also, like, an easier place to live, I think. And I just love the community here. I feel like
So you're in the city now.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
You don't commute anymore.
No. I think I was kind of always a city girl at heart. So I'm really, really glad to be there.
It's interesting you mentioned that the theater community here, because mm-hmm. in the past I've had different actors on, including Linda, your director. And one of the things that I gathered from all the different actors I've interviewed is that Chicago is a little more, the word community really defines it. Mm-hmm. You know, you see all of this stuff when you look at movies and things in New York, and it's always about casting, how it's bloodlust and backstabbing and doing all you can do to throw the other guy under the bus to get a role. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten the feeling, seeing a lot of different actors work together and talk together, that, yeah, there's a little competition, obviously. It's a tough market. But that there's a lot of support, that you guys really cheer for each other.
Support's a good word for it. I think there's also responsibility comes to word, but it's also you feel like you're contributing to it. You mm-hmm. feel like mm-hmm. you are a part of it, and it will support you if you support it, things of that nature.
It's welcoming mm-hmm. in it's welcoming. A way that I mm-hmm. really appreciate. I like that I can go to auditions and make friends there.
Yeah. And also, if it's a thing where people get to know you, and if they like you as a person, they're going to find a reason to cast you. Like something that from my friends who have been in New York who come here and be like, oh, yeah, if you're a jerk and you're not a nice person to work with, you're not going to work here in mm-hmm. Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily the same always. And I don't mean to poo-poo New York.
I
haven't lived there, and I know a lot of people who have a great time there. So just want to make that clear.
It seems like New York is always the place every aspiring actor wants to go.
Yeah, I don't
want until
to
they get there.
Yeah.
And then they're like, maybe it's not all that in a bag of chips. Let's go somewhere else.
There are definitely merits. I just think it's more difficult.
Okay.
Is the sense that I've gotten from my friends that are there is that it's, you know, it's just a faster paced, just like more intense. Like you said, maybe a little bit more cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that like there isn't anything going on here. There's a lot. And that's what's so awesome about it. It's a smaller community, but there's still just as much going on. So there's a lot more room to really grow and flourish, I think.
Sarah, what got you into acting and music? Your bio says you started at 12. That's a young age.
Yeah, I was like taking dance classes and stuff, and some of my friends said, oh, we're going down to the city to audition for American Girl Theater. Do you want to come? And I was like, okay. And I was really lucky to book that. So I don't know if you're familiar with...
I'm not.
No, that makes sense.
Like the American Girl,
the American Girl dolls. 100%. Yeah. So in the old
American
Girl
story...
That's kind
of creepy. Those dolls are creepy. Okay. I'm sorry.
People love them.
It was actually like a really incredible experience. So the old store, the whole like downstairs was a theater. And the show was basically just like eight girls teaching like empowering messages through music, and through history.
Did
the
you
whole
dress
thing
like dolls?
No.
Okay.
The premise was
I thought you did the makeup with the big eyes and the creepy look, you know,
like a Disneyland sort of thing, like Elmo on stage.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Okay.
No, the premise is like modern day girls talking about the history of these characters, kind of thing.
Okay.
And it was awesome, and it was really cool because it was my first professional gig, and so. It was amazing to be 12 and have adults not only take you seriously as a person, but as an artist, mm-hmm. and be really challenged, but also like encouraged. We were learning really like complex music, and we were given some really cool opportunities. Like I got to sing the national anthem in the seventh inning stretch at a Cubs game when I was 13.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a really, really cool introduction to the theater world. And that was really what made me realize that that's something you can have a career in. And so from there, I was able to get an agent and just kind of work off and on.
Wow, you get an agent that young?
Yeah.
So you didn't do the high school musical stuff.
I mean,
you didn't.
I did, though.
You did. You did the theater stuff in the local schools?
Yeah, I had a really nice balance.
Did your agent represent you there?
Yeah.
Did he get his percent?
I was calling up Lily's and being like, can you get me into the Drowsy Chaperone at Neighborhood Central? I had a really nice mix. I'm like very, very fortunate because my parents were really willing to be like, well, yeah, if you want to do this show, we'll drive you to Evanston. We'll drive you to the city. We'll drive you wherever that is and enable and encourage that. But then also I'd go and I was like on the theater board at my high school and like leading my a cappella group and stuff. And so
very cool.
I was kind of bouncing around a lot. But it was an incredible way to get started in this and to gain experience and... Yeah, I don't know. I love it.
All right. Steve, what about you? How did you come into this and at what age?
Actually, it was the same story. I was in
American Girl
Theater. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Here in No.
There are no men in that, so we know it's a lie.
No. I guess I started acting in high school at like 16 and stuff, and it was the thing I did all the sports and everybody grew and I didn't. So it was something that I always wanted to do. And so No, but I've actually been playing guitar longer than I've been acting. And so the fact that I'm an actor-musician now just kind of happened as a – I did not plan for that. But, yeah, I fell in love with, like, theater and stuff in high school. Like, it's very easy to, as a high school teenager, to find, like, a group of people and all your weird idiosyncrasies are all of a sudden, you know, like, people like it. And that's the good thing mm-hmm. about you. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, that happened. I went to college at the University of South Dakota. I do a lot of musical theater just because I had a background in singing as well. And then when I came to Chicago, I just happened to play guitar because it was just an intense hobby of mine. Like I grew up kind of in a rural area. And so basically all you really had to do was before you could drive was just play guitar. And so I learned every Green Day song that there was possible. And then learn more stuff like Led Zeppelin. It gets
so you were a rocker. You were doing a band thing,
yeah,
like electric guitar.
Oh yeah,
okay.
I play like blues and stuff like that.
Very cool.
But yeah, and then moved to Chicago, and now that kind of has become a huge niche for me is just playing guitar in shows, and like I'm playing in show over at Firebrand Theater, Always Patsy Cline, where I'm just playing
excellent
guitar.
Show.
Oh yeah, great time. So,
and you mentioned off-air you were in Big River about a year ago, wasn't it?
Two years or so. Something? Yeah, and I played mandolin in that too, mandolin and guitar.
So when you're not on stage acting and playing, are you in a band in Chicago?
No, I mean,
do you
I don't
do the coffee houses? Do you do anything like that?
I'm trying to work on. I'm trying to, you know, just get the material together. But you know, as an actor, I have a day job. You know, you got to pay the bills somehow, and then you also have your shows in the evening, and so. That's kind of been a tertiary sort of, I guess, aspiration. But
okay. Yeah. What about songwriting? Do either of you write songs?
Oh yeah, I write songs and things.
What style?
singer-songwriter things.
John Denver-ish?
John Denver-ish, maybe a little bit. I think my style's a little bit weirder than John Denver's. It's not so much chords. They're chords that I kind of make up that usually I only, you know, like to play. But, you know, so it's sometimes harder to go with people. I don't know what I'm talking about. This is great.
If you just tuned in, this is Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, and you are listening to 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio, National Public Radio. Thank you so much for being here. We're talking about Almost Heaven, John Denver's America. It's running February 16th through March 22nd at Theater at the Center at 1040 Ridge Road in Munster, Indiana. Beautiful facility. Coming up a little later in the show, we're going to talk to the show's director, Linda Fortunato. You brought your guitar. Do you guys want to do a song?
Are you tuned?
Are you ready?
I think it should be good to go.
All right.
Yeah.
So performances are 2 p.m. Wednesdays and Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. on Fridays, 3 p.m. and 7:30 on Saturdays. And, of course, there's that wonderful opportunity to do a matinee, 2:30 p.m. Sundays. And you can get all the information on this show, Almost Heaven, John Denver's America, at www.theateratthecenter.com. And that's the place to go for all the stuff going on there. And they have nonstop shows, whether it's theater or concerts. There's always something happening there. And as we've mentioned on this program before, since the demise about 2 years ago, Star Plaza Theater, a lot of smaller venues have been picking up the slack. So we have not lost our culture, Northwest Indiana. Fear not. You can find it alive and well at Theater at the Center. And again, theateratthecenter.com. You can call their box office at 219-836-3255. It looks like they are ready. Stephen and Sarah, what are you going to perform for us?
I'll be playing guitar, and Sarah will be singing for Guess He'd Rather Be in Colorado.
Okay, let's do it to it. This is Midwest Beat, Sarah and Stephen. Cool.
I guess he'd rather be in Colorado. Rather spend his time out where the sky looks like a pearl after rain. Once again I see him walking, once again I hear him talking to the stars he makes and asking them for bus fare. I guess he'd rather be in Colorado. He'd rather spend his time out where the sky looks like a pearl after rain. Once again I see him walking, once again I hear him talking to the stars he makes and asking them for bus fare. I guess he'd rather be in Colorado. Guess he'd rather be in Colorado. He'd rather work out where the only thing you earn is what you spend. And in the end, up in his office, in the end, a quiet cough is all he has to show. He lives in New York City. I guess he'd rather be Colorado.
Awesome. And rehearsals haven't even started yet.
No.
Wow. Very, very cool. What are your thoughts when you're singing those words? Obviously, a newfound John Denver fan. What do you think of his lyricism? What do you think of his music now that you're kind of entrenched in it a little bit?
Yeah, I'm definitely entrenched in it. I've been listening to it. That's all I've been listening to. I love it. I think his music really evokes like a feeling of nostalgia and hominess.
Mm-hmm. Something we need today.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's like a lovingness and a longingness that I really appreciate. It's really relatable. It's really heartfelt. And I think what you were saying about him being a really good guy just comes mm-hmm. through so much in his music.
I think so. I think it does come through. This is Midwest Beat, Lakeshore Public Radio. You just heard Stephen Romero Schaefer and Sarah Geist. They are two of the cast members of Almost Heaven, John Denver's America. Again, coming to theater at the Center in Munster, February 16th through 22nd. How many songs are in the repertoire? Do you know offhand? Ooh, or is that a Linda question?
25?
That's a lot of songs.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Without reprises and such.
Yeah.
It's around that, yeah.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure.
The main ones, anyway.
Now, you're playing guitar in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guitar and mandolin.
Okay. Now, at Theater at the Center, one of the things that is very cool about that venue is they don't do track stuff. Mm-hmm. They do real music. So how many they have the house musicians backing you? How does this work?
Yeah, it's going to be – there's going to be the five of us, and then we've got Bill, and then we've got Malcolm Rule. I know he's playing guitar. He does a lot of guitar with them.
Okay.
Often.
I think he's also doing bass too.
Oh, yeah, he's doing all the things. He's got the 12-string. He's got the bass. I think he's doing a little lap steel and things. But he's fantastic. And then, I mean, us actor musicians, I think.
Yeah, we have a violinist as well, too.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, all five of us in the cast play guitar. And mm-hmm. I know you and Tommy also play mandolin. Mm-hmm. Tommy also plays banjo. So yeah. Instruments are going to be flying around. We're all going to be playing a lot.
So, Sarah, you mentioned you all play guitar, so you play mm-hmm. as well.
I do.
How long have you been playing?
I've been playing. That's kind of a weird question for me. I taught myself in high school, and then I. And then I gave up for like a long time. I like just stopped and I played ukulele for a while. I picked it up seriously again last year and I started taking lessons at Old Town School of Folk Music. And
great place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally changed the game. I can't recommend enough. Mm-hmm. My teacher, Rebecca Toon, is incredible. And
what a good name for a music teacher. That's
what I was about to say.
Rebecca Toon?
She's incredible.
That is so cool.
Yeah, everybody take from her. She's the best teacher I've ever had.
Shout out.
But yeah, so I feel like I've come a long way in that time. And yeah.
All right, so you mentioned there's five of you, plus the musicians that play in the backdrop there, in the pit, if you will. Are they on stage or are they in a pit? Because I've seen it both ways there.
We don't know yet. Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Linda might be able to tell you later.
Okay.
Maybe she won't, though.
It's a mystery. Come and see. But
there's
five of you. So how do you break it up? Do you all take turns singing songs?
Yeah, I mean, not all of us have to be playing, I guess, at once, but we've divided it up in this sort of way. So some people are singing solo on things, do a lot of beautiful harmonies on certain other ones. I know for, like, I think Calypso, we're all singing.
Yeah, there are.
What a great song.
Oh, yeah, that's our.
I think we're going to have to play that from John today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got, like, a whole map that shows us who's singing what. So there are some where people are just accompanying themselves. There are some where someone's playing and singing and others are singing backup. It's going to be a wide breadth of of songs and arrangements.
I remember there was a Bob Dylan movie recently, and they had multiple people, men and women, playing Dylan. It was 4 or 5 years ago, and it was really bizarre, but so cool at the same time. Is that kind of what this is? Are you all playing John, or are you Stephen playing John? Because I see the pictures, and you've got the glasses, and you look very John-ish.
Yeah, it's the way that the script is written. Basically, it's kind of just telling the story. Well, it's more of a celebration of John Denver's work and sort of how, what his intentions were and his style and how basically it's us sort of being a part of that story with it by like telling it. There's sort of featured letters from fans who they talk about how they feel about his music and things of that nature. A lot of my material and the things that I say are kind of focused in sort of the mindset and realm of John Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitate to say that I speak for him, but my character is sort of meant to be that voice.
You're kind of the narrator in first person in a way?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay.
You're just going to have to see.
I guess.
He's about as John Denver as it gets, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look good in the pictures.
Well, thank you.
You really
do.
You portray John well.
Thank you.
We're going to learn a little more about Stephen and Sarah and the production, Almost Heaven, John Denver's America. We're going to hear them play again. And soon we're going to be talking to their director and find out why these two fit the bill as John and company. Linda will be joining us shortly. But right now, let's go back to the real deal. This is the lead track, the opening track of John's amazing double album called The Wildlife Concert. And we're going to remind everyone again why John was important, not just to music, but to life itself. This is the song I know you'll be singing along with. Let's play it.
Introduce Mr. John Denver.
Of his 27th year,
coming home to a place he'd never been before. Left yesterday behind him, you might say he was born again. Might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road, hanging by a song. But the string's already broken, and he doesn't really care. Keeps changing fast, it don't last for long. Colorado, Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. The shadow from the starlight is softening a lullaby. Rocky Mountain High, Rocky Mountain. Saw silver clouds below. Saw everything as far as you can see. And to say that he got crazy once and tried to touch the sun. And he lost a friend but kept his memory. Now he walks in quiet solitude, the forests and the streams, seeking grace in every step he takes. Side has turned inside himself to try and understand the serenity of a clear blue mountain lake. Colorado, Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. You can talk to God and listen to the casual reply. Rocky Mountain High, Rocky Mountain High. Now his life is full of wonder, but his heart still knows some fear of a simple thing he cannot comprehend. Why they try to tear the mountains down to bring in a couple more, more people, more scars upon the land. And the Colorado, Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. I know he'd be a poor man if he never saw an eagle fly. Rocky Mountain High, it's a Colorado. Rocky Mountain High, Rocky Mountain High, Rocky Mountain High.
Yeah, nothing like getting high on a Friday afternoon in the region. Rocky Mountain High, that is. Almost Heaven. John Denver's America. And what a pure voice. I remember seeing him. I remember being a fan. It wasn't always cool to be a fan of John Denver, but you know what? I don't care.
It is now.
That's right. There is a tribute to his legacy, his music, who he was as a person, and it's coming to theater at the Center, 1040 Ridge Road, Munster, Indiana, February 16th through March 22nd. My guests today, Stephen and Sarah, are members of the cast. They're two of the five. We're going to have the director, Linda, joining us shortly. Let's talk about the theater. Mm-hmm. Stephen, you've performed there, as we mentioned, in Big River not long ago. What is it about that theater? I mean, you've played in a lot of theaters. You've worked all over the place. What is it about that theater, Theater at the Center, that makes it unique and why people should come? It's still a secret after all these years. A lot of people don't realize that it's there. And if they do know, they don't know how cool it is inside. Tell us the actor's perspective.
It's very interesting because when you walk in there, and it's like three different entities like working in that building at once. Like usually you'll walk in and there's like that ballroom and then there's going to be some sort of like some service or some sort of group, maybe like a church service, and they're over there, and so you hear that. And sometimes, I remember when I was there last time, they were having auditions for the symphony that they were having there. So there's a lot of artistic stuff going on. But, I mean, I really enjoyed my time there, really, because of Bill and Linda. They're incredible directors in their respect to Bill as a music director and Linda as the artistic director. They are just great artists who know how to create good work, and they're extremely supportive and very brilliant at what they do. And so, that's like an actor's dream. And so, obviously, you want to come back to that.
Now, you've played approximately how many theaters in your career?
Ooh.
A dozen, two dozen?
I've done some tours. I've done a fair amount in Chicago. I've been here for like 3 years. And so, considering equity and non-equity, a fair amount.
And it is nice to mention also that Theater at the Center is the only equity theater in Northwest Indiana, which is a big deal. Not that because being a non-equity actor means you aren't good. Mm-hmm. It just means you haven't paid as many dues, I guess, and you haven't been around as long. Mm-hmm. Equity is like an actor union. Is it SAG?
They're
and
separate.
SAG-AFTRA
is the film and television and voiceover, and then Equity is the theater union.
Okay, so it's comparable. It's just for stage actors. Sarah, are you Equity?
No, I think we're both EMC, right?
Which is almost Equity.
So EMC, such actory talk, you know. EMC is when you've done some equity work, but you haven't reached the number of weeks that you're supposed to reach before you can definitely join the union, then you're an equity membership candidate. Mm-hmm. And it gives you privileges over being non-EC, but not quite as many privileges as you are when you're in the union.
But when you're equity, don't you always have to play equity rooms?
Yeah, it's kind of a good place
to be because you can play either.
Totally.
Well, especially in Chicago.
The world is your oyster, so to speak.
And being young like we are, it's good to be in an EMC position because you can kind of float around and try different things. And that's what I like to do anyway. So
okay. Yeah. I'm gonna put you guys on the spot because I'm sure she's probably listening.
No.
Sarah, tell me a little bit about your thoughts. Have you worked with Linda?
I have not. This is my first time.
You've met her?
Oh yeah, I've auditioned for her a bunch and I love
What's your take on Linda?
I think Linda is lovely. I've always really enjoyed auditioning for her. I think the way that she holds auditions is just really ideal from the actor's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
She's really, really kind and really welcoming, and it's always just like fun auditioning for her. I've always felt like really respected and really in a position where I can be open with that company whenever she's leading the room and everything. I think Linda's awesome. I've been wanting to work with her for a long time, so I'm really excited.
You mentioned offer that you've been to Theater at the Center, but you've never acted there.
Yeah, well, they hold their auditions there too. So.
Oh, okay.
So you go in and you go.
So
in.
Have you attended a production there yet?
I am pretty sure I saw like Music Man there or something in like 2009. I would say, but I haven't. Yes. In adult life, because I don't have a car, frankly.
Okay.
But
how'd you get here today?
My roommate, Tim Huggenberger, has a car. Shout out Tim Huggenberger. Thank you for letting me use it.
Thank you for allowing us to be here, Steve's roommate.
Very cool. So how are you guys? Have you ever worked together on any productions?
No.
You seem like you're yin and yang here. I mean, you guys
we've met a few times, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a friend, and we met through a mutual friend, and then happenstance, now we're working together.
Yeah. So I feel like we've seen each other in auditions a bunch. That's like kind of the deal with Chicago theaters. You just see everyone in audition rooms, and then eventually you end up in the same rehearsal room with them.
What's the hardest thing about an audition? I mean, is it as bad as it looks when they show documentaries, and there's like 100 people for one role?
In Chicago, it can vary. Sometimes you get to an EPA, which is an equity principal audition.
Okay.
There's a lot of machinations to it, but basically you go in and if you are an EMC person, you hope to get seen. And so you're waiting amongst a bunch of other people. And then there's non-equity people who are not a part of that and they have to wait after those people. And so they have to be a little bit more patient.
But in terms of that, being able to show yourself to these artistic directors for these large theaters and being present and being able to do the thing the best that you can after sitting there for 5 hours, just playing on your phone or reading a book or something, sometimes that's difficult. Daunting, perhaps, when it's like your final callback and, you know, there's only two other people and this could really help you out in terms of your career. And if it doesn't go one way or another, that can, you know, be unfortunate. But also, the good thing about Chicago is these people remember who you are. They don't forget that you really nailed whatever you did. You just weren't technically right for it, or someone had another opinion about where the casting should go. And so knowing that, that's also helpful. And a good audition is a good audition nonetheless. Yeah. You just strive to have those good auditions. So
you mentioned about how you enjoyed working at the theater, and you seem very complimentary to Linda. What is it about her directing that stands out from your perspective as someone that, you know, is telling you how to do your craft? She herself is an actor. So does that make it easier, so to speak?
I feel like I really sound like I'm sucking up to Linda right now. I just... Well, okay. Well, anyway, I remember when I rehearsed with her, it's just she has such a knowledge of the content and she's so incredibly prepared. I just remember, like, because I was, you know, playing guitar and over here and I was like watching as everything was happening, and she would come in with so much knowledge of the content and exactly where she was planning on going with things, and then trusting the actors to give their input. And so then it can be more of a conversation. So it's this sort of relationship where it's like, we both need to know what we're doing and we'll go whatever way, but trust that I know exactly what I want. But what do you think?
All right. Yeah. Well, you both auditioned for this. Again, we're talking about Almost Heaven, John Denver's America at Theater of the Center, February 16th through 22nd. And why? Why this role? Why this production? We'll start with Sarah on that. Now, you don't even have a character name, per se. You're a woman, too.
Well, yeah.
Right? I mean...
Technically, he's man one, man. So...
Oh, okay.
yeah, I think that part of what drew me to this was just working at Theater at the Center in general, because I've wanted to work there for a long time. But also, I've been wanting to do an actor-musician show for a long time as well. That's kind of like my favorite kind of show to see. So I've been wanting to be able to be part of that. So, and also I love folk music. Like, even if I wasn't a big John Denver fan, when I was like looking up the show, I was like, oh, this is very close to the kind of style that I like. And I went in with a Joni Mitchell song and
very cool.
And I love the kind of audition when you can like play your guitar and do whatever you want. And I feel like there's something so freeing and so fun about that. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited to go in and see Linda and Bill and hope for the best. I really wasn't expecting to get it, so I'm thrilled. It's going to be a really, really fun time. So.
It's interesting you said you were a fan of folk music. Did that come because of working at Old Town School? Or were you a fan before?
I was like raised on Joni Mitchell. Like, okay. Joni Mitchell was like what my mom would sing to me as lullabies as a child.
Good choice.
So, oh, yeah, no. So she was really my way into a lot of it. I was raised on a lot of like 60s folk and 60s rock and stuff. So that was kind of my way in.
We're seeing a resurgence of this Americana string instrument, old-timey kind of music and pop music with Yvette Brothers, Mumford & Sons, Luminaires, you know, all those different groups are coming out. And there's elements of a lot of that old-timey sound in there.
Totally.
It's interesting because, you know, I have a record store and I see a lot of young people coming in, and actually I hired one of the kids because he brought up a Joan Baez album and a Donovan album, and he's in high school. And I'm like, how do you even know this? You buying this for your mom? Is that a list? And it's like, no, I just love this. Well, how did you find out? Well, I found out about Bob Dylan, and I started listening, and I started paying attention to who Bob liked and who worked with him. And it's opened that door.
Yeah.
And I get young people come in and ask for John Hartford and people that they shouldn't even know, but I'm so proud that they do.
Yeah.
So this kid brought in Joan Baez as like his resume. He'd be like, I know music. Here we go.
Well, he came in and he was a customer and he kept brought up to the counter and That's just struck up the conversation. And I'm like, holy.
I think Spotify has like changed the world.
I was about to say that. Yeah. For the good or the bad, because it does, you know, I'm not going to speak either way of Spotify, but what it does is you choose something. It's like, hey, do you also like this? And you're like, absolutely, I like this Spotify. And you go down a dark hole of like Bob Dylan and you end up on the other side with, you know, more Lumineers and then other stuff.
Man, yeah, that, there's been a lot of that that just happens where you discover a lot of great music out there.
Mm-hmm. 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 Wow. Have you gone back and listened to some of John's earlier stuff, like the Chad Mitchell Trio, New Christy Minstrels?
Absolutely, yeah.
Will that be addressed in his show?
Yes, yeah. A little bit in terms of just the style that the Chad Mitchell Trio had, a lot of their satirical stuff that is mentioned in terms of politics. So and yeah, it, because it does go through his life, it does start there in a certain sort of way.
Mm-hmm. So this is, if I'm understanding, it's kind of told in first person through multiple voices, mm-hmm. right?
Sort of. I think a lot of us are playing like other like fans and friends and things. It's not necessarily like one person. Like I wouldn't say that anyone is playing Annie or explicitly, mm-hmm. but we're using source material from like fan letters and things. So not necessarily everyone is playing it in first person, but mm-hmm. we're all building the story around and for his life, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Did that make any sense?
in kind of a way, it did.
Yeah.
There's a really cool line at the very beginning where he says, I don't really like signing autographs because they're so impersonal. And so what I basically wanted this to serve as is my autograph. This is me, and this is how I feel, and I want you all to feel it. It's a shared experience. Like, as mm-hmm. you know, with sort of the quintessential John Denver concert experience. It was mm-hmm. so much about him being there with everybody and being vulnerable and open and just having this communal experience. And so that's sort of what we're trying to reenact with this show, I would say.
Mm-hmm. How much is focused on music and how much is focused on John the man? And I ask because he was such a full-bodied persona. He worked tirelessly for the environment, mm-hmm. for wildlife. He did a lot to save wolves. I mean, he did a lot. I work with the Humane Society. I work with a lot of different organizations. And that's one of the reasons that I think I'm attached to him is because everything he stood for, I fully believe in support.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important part of who John Denver was and one of the things you need to bring out in any story of his. Do you focus on that at all? I mean, is it covered? Will people leave knowing that John was more than a songwriter?
We definitely, pretty much everything that you brought up is something that gets addressed in the play. And a lot of the dialogue is like straight from his autobiography and stuff too. So you're definitely going to get a real sense of who he is. But it's also going to be a big celebration of his music. It's definitely music heavy. We're going to have,
You said 25 songs and pieces.
It's
and
something like the score is like 240 pages and then like the book is 40 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So you do get a nice taste of a lot of different aspects of his life. He talks about his personal life with his wife and with his environmentalism and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then also like fans' impressions and things. So,
and it's through the music that we sort of talk about that. It's mm-hmm. like Calypso is mm-hmm. basically like the sort of, and that's how the first act ends, where it's like, yo, environment, this is
right,
it's important. It Calypso
is. All right, let's play that right now again from the Wildlife Concert. This is Calypso, John Denver.
Like the dolphin who guides you, you bring us beside you, to light up the darkness, to show us the way. Although we are strangers in your silent world, to live on the land we must learn from the sea. To be true as the tide and free as a windswell, joyful and loving and letting it be.
That out in memory of Jacques Cousteau, who did so much for the oceanography world, helping the oceans, getting us turned on to the fact that even though it's a big body of water, there's a lot of life in there. It's the unknown that he helped explore, and John Denver was a big part of that. He used to be on the boat sometimes with him, hanging out with him. And, of course, Calypso was the name of the boat that Jacques had that did so much research, and his son and family has carried it on. And that song is timeless, and it is part of the show. You said it closes out the first half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. So who sings that part?
We all do.
Oh, okay. It's like a choral thing?
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's we just swap it back and forth, and I know the guitar part is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. Mm-hmm.
So we didn't mention everybody involved. Let's give some shout-outs to who is involved in this production. Again, if you just tuned in, it's Lakeshore Public Radio, Midwest Beat Program. I'm Lounges, and my guests are Stephen and Sarah. They're cast members for Almost Heaven, John Denver's America, running February 16th through 22nd, Theater at the Center in Munster. And you're going to hear a ton of songs. It's going to take them from, John's career started in 1961 or 62. And it's going to take you all the way up to his untimely death, and which was 70, late 70s?
No, 97.
97. Mm-hmm. I had it transposed. I was thinking 79.
You saw the 7. That's all.
Yeah. 97. So, who's all involved in this? Let's talk.
The cast.
There's the cast. We've got, it's me and Sarah, and then we've got Andrew Mueller, who is also an actor-musician. He's a talented guitar player. We've got...
Tommy Maloff is also going to be featured, playing guitar and banjo and mandolin and acting, of course. And then Shannon McEldowney finishes out the cast. She's excellent.
Tommy was also in Million Dollar Quartet just recently as Johnny Cash. So
at Theater at the Center.
At Theater at the Center.
Then I interviewed him there because we did. I hosted the party that we had for the reception, and I brought all the cast members, and I had them in character kind of debating who's the best rock star and
so fun.
It was a lot of fun. And we actually created, we melted albums from my store, and we made these centerpieces. And then we had, we painted Sun Records albums, and then that was your table marker. And then people were like, take them home. It was very cool.
Oh, that's really
that
cool.
That was the coolest thing I think I've ever done at the Center, was having the cast come up and actually be in character and argue. If it wasn't for you, I'd have done this. If it wasn't for you, I'd have been bigger. I'd had blue suede shoes, myself, and it was a lot of fun. So hopefully they'll do that with you guys. That would be a lot of fun.
That would be great.
Get up there and actually showcase at the little dinner party, and we can do a little cast interview so people can get to know you like we are today.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
So I'm sorry I interrupted, but who else?
No.
I interrupted technically.
Okay.
That's
true. He did. I'll put it on his shoulders.
That's the five of us. We mentioned we have a violinist in our band earlier. Her name is Allison Tatum. Mm-hmm. I have not met her yet, but I'm very excited.
Is everybody from Chicago? based?
All of the cast is, for sure. I know, like, three of us live within, like, a two-mile radius of each other.
So there's your carpool.
That is my carpool.
Sarah's
again,
next.
Thank you, Tim, for the car. I appreciate it.
So was there anyone else we didn't put in there?
We mentioned Malcolm Rule and Bill Underwood, who both live in Chicago. I think Oak Park is where Bob lives, but, you know. Bill. This and that. But yeah, Bill. Jesus. Goodness. But yeah, and so very excited for all of these people. There's a
score. People you'll see on stage, and then there's a ton of awesome designers and people involved, of course.
That's the thing, too, at the theater, and I'm sure we'll address that with Linda, but the sets, no matter what you see there,
and
Big
gorgeous.
River was awesome. I mean, they had a river.
That was incredible, yeah. The lights were incredible, and the contouring of all of the floor, and there was a big old tree there. It was a lot of fun. And also the band was on stage, so that was fun, too.
So, I mean, it's Indiana. People think, oh, it's Indiana. It's not Chicago. It's
Hardly.
Not New York. But when you walk in there, you are seeing one of the most professional shows, one of the most professional venues that I've ever been in, and I've traveled all over.
Yeah, they just did White Christmas, and that was like their highest selling show just recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That just blew the roof off of Tatsy. So yeah,
right.
That's great work.
Mm-hmm. So what's it? I mean, what's the staging going to be like? Have you figured it out? Have you seen diagrams or anything yet for this?
No.
Well, we'll have to address that with Linda.
I'm excited to hear what she says.
We're going
to
put her on the spot, put her in a hot seat.
It is. It's. I believe, as far as I know, because we've all gotten respective calls in terms of our instruments and how they want to put pickups in there and everything. So I imagine that it is going to be something where that's going to allow us to move around with our instruments. And
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to be doing double pirouettes, but there's going to be some movement involved in order to tell the story.
I did hear. I had to hand over my guitar yesterday to get a pickup put in for the show, and the sound designer.
They can let you keep them?
Yeah.
Are they really?
I'm really excited.
I was jealous because I already had one. I'm like, come on, man.
I really lucked out. But she was saying that there's going to be a lot of stands kind of everywhere, different kinds of guitar stands everywhere, so that you'll be able to kind of pick up and go whenever you need to. And so it's my impression of it. I could be wrong. I'm sorry, Linda. But my impression of it is that it's going to be really free flowing and really cool and fluid. And I don't know. I'm very excited.
Wow. Good stuff. Again, this is Almost Heaven, John Denver's America. It is going to be opening February 16th. And dress rehearsals and stuff are all starting next week?
Mm-hmm.
This week.
Monday the 27th.
Yeah. Is our last one, so.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I thought he said rehearsals. I'm sorry.
That's when rehearsals start. So still have time to prepare on our own.
Well, we'll find out a little bit more. We're going to bring Linda Fortunato on in just a moment. But here's another classic track from John, again from the Wildlife concert we're featuring today. Another one that was a hit, even though it wasn't as commercial. A lot of fans will remember Poems, Prayers, and Promises. Linda Fortunato coming up after this.
I've been lately thinking about my life's time, all the things I've done, how it's been. I can't help believing in my own mind. I know I'm gonna hate to see it end. I've seen a lot of sunshine, slept out in the rain, spent a night or two all on my own. I've known my lady's pleasures, had myself some friends, and spent a night or two in my own home. I have to say it now, it's been a good life all in all. It's really fine to have a chance to hang around and lie there by the fire and watch the evening tire while all my friends and my old lady sit and pass a pipe around and talk of poems and prayers and promises and things that we believe. How sweet it is to love someone, how right it is to care,
How long it's been since yesterday. What about tomorrow? What about our dreams and all the memories we share? The days they pass so quickly now, nights are seldom long. Time around me whispers when it's cold. The changes somehow frighten me, still I have to smile. It turns me on to think of growing old. Though my life's been good to me, there's still so much to do. So many things my mind has never known. I'd like to raise a family. I'd like to sail away and dance across the mountains on the moon. Yes, I will. I have to say it now. It's been a good life all in all. It's really fine to have a chance to hang around and lie there by the fire and watch the evening tire while all my friends and my old lady sit and watch the sun go down and talk of poems and prayers and promises and things that we believe in. How sweet it is to love someone, how right it is to care, how long it's been since yesterday. What about tomorrow? What about our dreams and all the memories we share?
Applause, applause, the late, great John Denver. How sweet it is to love someone, how right it is to care. The words just speak today as they did back then. I mean, as we had mentioned earlier, a lot of his personality, a lot of who he was, a lot of his heart, his soul comes out in his words. And you'll be hearing a lot of words from John Denver's songbook, In Almost Heaven, John Denver's America, running February 16th through March 22nd, Theater at the Center in Munster, a beautiful facility. A great cast is coming together for this, and it's being directed by Linda Fortunato. And Linda, I believe, is on the phone with us right now. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Linda. Always a pleasure to have you on.
So happy to be with you.
I don't know. Were you listening to any of today's show?
Yeah, I was listening to all of it.
Oh,
I hope you didn't crowd.
They were hesitant to say certain things because you haven't started rehearsals yet. So we're going to throw a lot of that at you.
Okay.
Let's talk about the staging of this. What's it going to look like?
Well, I'm really excited about what it's going to look like. We had that question of what is it going to look like is a question that we talked about a lot. Anne Davis, who is also our production manager, is designing the set. And she also designed the set for Big River that you were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. that beautiful set. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the fact that we really wanted to embrace elements of nature because that's so important in John Denver's work.
Good.
And his life. But also, it's not, you know, it didn't seem right to set it in a park or in a field or try to recreate outdoors. We can't realistically build the Rocky Mountains on the stage. And it really is, as Sarah and Stephen were talking, it really is such a celebration of his music and in a way feels more like a concert than a play, that Anne started researching outdoor amphitheaters. And she found some really beautiful designs. And so the feeling of it is sort of a cross between nature and a theater, an amphitheater that you would find outdoors.
Okay. That seems like a really good environment to present this in.
Right. It's going to be a really open stage. Our lighting designer, Max Maxson, is fantastic, and he's going to be able to really play with that environment and give us a lot of a variety of looks within that as well.
one of the things that I was curious about is I had never heard of this production. Is this relatively a new production? And how did you come to embrace it? I'm not familiar with this at all until Theater of the Center brought it to my attention.
Oh, okay. Well, it's been around for a while. It has had life in different forms. The material, the song selections have changed. The amount of dialogue has changed. It was originally written for 6 actors. It's now 5 actors. It ran off Broadway in 2005 for a while. That was the first incarnation. And then since then, it's gone through a couple different versions. It was first brought to my attention by a friend of mine who had designed the costumes on a production in a regional setting. And this friend brought the script to me and said, you know, I've worked on the show a couple times. Audiences always love it. I really think the Theater at the Center audience would love this show. You should look at it. And I looked at it and agreed.
How long ago did you decide to put the wheels in motion on this? How long does it take you to go from the idea of I like this to actually casting and producing a show?
We select our season about, let me think. Right now, I am in the middle of selecting the 2021-2022 shows.
Wow.
So about 18 months to 2 years in advance, we start choosing titles and securing the rights. And then probably about 9 to 10 months before a show, we start talking about the design and all of those elements. And then approximately 6 months before the show is when we audition and cast the company.
What is it about these two sitting in front of me here, Stephen and Sarah, that you liked and thought they were perfect for this cast?
Well,
you know Stephen from before, but
right. And some of it I think you know from hearing them play. I guess he'd rather be in Colorado a few minutes ago. I was sitting here listening to it, getting goosebumps and getting really excited about working with these two. They're both fantastic musicians and singers, but they're also both really terrific storytellers that I think is so important with John Denver's music because he was such a storyteller. His melodies are beautiful, mm-hmm. and it's really easy to just get lost in his melodies. But I think you mentioned this a few minutes ago, that really listening to his lyrics, there's so much in his lyrics. There's so much optimism in one song, longing in another song. There's so much humanity. There's so much that you can really grab onto in his lyrics and his stories. And all 5 of the actors in the show are really fantastic at doing that.
5 actors. Again, I keep trying to get my head around how you're doing this. It's the story of John. Are they? But yet they're, you know, even Stephen's man one instead of John, but he looks like John. Are the other characters in this, do they sport the glasses and do the John thing? I mean, what is their role? How do you bring this to life with 5 different actors?
Right. So you are right. So Stephen represents John Denver.
Okay, he's the embodiment.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so the company of 5, as Sarah started to say, they're all friends, people, musicians that have gathered together to celebrate this man and this music. So unlike the Bob Dylan film, they're not all playing John Denver.
Okay.
But they're all performing and giving their own spin on some of the songs.
Okay, that clarifies a little bit. It almost reminds me a little bit, then, the way you're describing it, like your Sinatra production.
In a way, yes, absolutely. It's a tribute to the artist and the music and hearing it celebrated in different voices.
Okay. Prior to this, I asked the cast here, prior to this, were you or are you a John Denver fan?
I was not. And it wasn't that I was an anti-fan, that I didn't like John Denver. I just really didn't have much awareness of John Denver. I knew the movie Oh God with George Burns.
Okay.
And I remember John Denver being on The Muppet Show.
Classic.
Honestly, that's about it, which is surprising because I grew up, my dad was a huge folk music fan. So he was always, you know, the Kingston Trio, the Limelighters, Peter, Paul, and Mary, that's the music he listened to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really surprised that John Denver didn't filter in there because in his early career, he was in that same tribe.
Right.
So it wasn't really until diving into this show that I really got to know that much about John Denver. And I have to say, through my research, I am now a John Denver fan.
Sarah mentioned something like that, too, leaving on a jet plane. You know, they were thinking, oh, Peter, Paul, and Mary, not realizing it was a John song.
Right.
And so interesting. I'm a lot of people don't recognize who John was, especially the full person that he was and all the different environmental aspects and things.
Exactly.
But he also was pioneering support for space exploration. A lot of people don't realize that. He took his opinions out of the ocean and shot them into space. Again, Final Frontiers. And I'm glad to hear that a lot of that comes out in this production. Do you guys have, I know in the past we've talked about there's different versions of things. You might see a production and then you see the same production is done a little bit different. Do you, as a producer, director, and the cast members, do you take a little artistic, dramatic license with any of this stuff? Or do you have to do it word by word the way it was written?
Well, you are licensed. You know, like with anything with royalties or copyright, you are given, this is the script, this is what you have permission to do. So we can't, we can't rewrite the play. But we can put our own sort of spin and emphasis on it. And this, because there have been several different versions of this play, a five-person version, a six-person version, we have been able to sort of grab the best bits of things to create what we're doing. And there is, I have a little bit of a desire that there was more autobiographical information about the man himself.
Okay.
It is, as Stephen and Sarah were mentioning, it is mostly about the music, which is wonderful. I mean, there's no problem with that. And it's peppered with some information about him. And if we got as deep into all the wonderful things about John Denver, it would be a 3-hour evening, and that's not what we're after. So
well, I'd be okay with that myself. But for those that didn't know, in 1974, John was the poet laureate of Colorado, and that was a big deal. And of course, he got many, many awards, but we're focusing on the music. What are your favorite songs from this production? And are there, in fact, about 25 in there?
There are. I don't know that I have a favorite right now. It's kind of been that my favorite is the one I'm working on at that time.
Okay.
And I think that it's going to change a lot throughout the process of what my favorites are. When you're working on anything musical, songs get stuck in your head. And with this show, it hasn't been just one song that's stuck in my head, which is nice. Like, I've got a whole soundtrack going on in my subconscious.
Yeah, I think Sarah's ready to listen to something different. She's been steeped in this. She said she's been living with this music for so long.
Well, I love that the tracks you've picked have been from the Wildlife concert. Because that watching video of that concert was really one of my ins to him, because I'd been listening a lot, and it wasn't until I started watching him live that I really got the full effect of him. The honesty, just his heart on his sleeve, the emotion is so real, so pure. There's a lovely simplicity to his performance. It's just so engaging.
Okay. What's the hardest part of casting a show like this? It's a little left of center, the fact that you don't have one star portraying. Like with the Ingersolls, when they do their shows, they have a Bobby Darin or they have a Nat King Cole. You're taking this play or this musical and this life, and you're bringing it to life with several characters. What's the hardest part of doing something like that, as opposed to having one guy star as Elvis or whoever?
Right. In a way, I think it makes it easier. The hardest part was to look at the amazing talent that we saw and narrow it down to five people. Now, picking the five people we have was not at all hard, because they're fantastic. It was pretty easy of, oh, yes, these people would be wonderful.
You just got a lot of smiles over here.
Oh, good. Well, it's true. I can tell them all five of them, when they left the room, my job. It's hard to know as an actor, and I know this having been in many auditions myself, but it's really true. The people in the audition room want you to be great, because it makes our life easier. It makes our job easier if everybody who walks through the door to audition for us is great, and these people are. And the thing that was fantastic for us is, in the original version of the show, there were six actors who did not play instruments, and there were six instrumentalists. And as you know, through these different incarnations of the show, you know, maybe just the John Denver played or all of the people played. And so when we set out to cast this show, we said, let's open this up and invite anybody who plays an instrument to bring in their instrument. And some people asked me, well, what instrument do you want? And we honestly said, whatever you play.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to have our choice of great people. What do they play? Oh, well, they play this and they play that. And we weren't convinced that everybody had to play an instrument. You know, we thought, oh, if some of them play and some of them don't, that'll work too. But it turns out that we found five people that do all play. And I'm really excited about that. And the fact that, that just adds so much more depth and variety to the evening of having them play in different combinations.
Okay. Speaking of playing, we're going to have them grab that guitar again. And Stephen and Sarah are going to perform live in studio. You are listening to Lakeshore Public Radio. This is Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. We're talking about Almost Heaven, John Denver's America, running a theater at the center February 16th through March 22nd in Munster, Indiana. Again, it's been around a long time. How long has the theater been there, Linda? About 20, 25 years now?
Actually, this year, 2020, is our 30th anniversary.
30th. Wow. Time goes by.
It sure does.
And as I mentioned, I mean, a lot of folks know that it's there and have attended because it's always capacity crowds there. But it seems like a lot of people I talk to, they're like, oh, there's a theater in Munster? And it's like, what do we got to do to make people realize how magnificent this venue is and how great these productions are? Any thoughts on how we can shake up the world a little bit and get more bodies out there?
Well, Tom, you're helping. I think, you know, word of mouth is our best advertising tool. So we are so lucky that patrons that come and enjoy the shows tell their friends and their coworkers and the people in line at the grocery store and just trying to keep getting the word out.
You've been in theater a long time. You've been the artistic director now for, what, 5-6 years?
This is my fifth season. Yeah.
Having been as experienced and in so many theaters and have so much history in your own resume, why was this the right place, the right niche for you to become artistic director? You're pretty much implanted there now.
It sort of is an opportunity that came to me, and I am so lucky that it did. Years ago, Stacey Flaster was choreographing most of the shows when Bill Polinsi was the artistic director, and she was pregnant and having a baby and said, I can't do this show. Do you want to do it? And I did, and after that, started doing more choreography here mm-hmm. and more directing, and then when the artistic director position came open, I was able to put my name in the ring, and now here I am.
I know you still do some acting, but does this infringe on you actually getting on the boards and doing characters yourself, being a director?
For now, it does. Actually, the next show in our season, our spring show, I'm going to be on the stage. So it's something that I will never abandon completely, but right now I'm really loving the position that I'm in now.
Okay. Well, I think they are ready to go. I believe we're going to do Country Roads. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. So everybody turn up the dial, listen up. Steve Romero Schaefer and Sarah Geist of the Almost Heaven cast will be performing this on stage. You're getting to sneak peek it right here before rehearsals even start. And here we go.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, blowing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country roads. All my memories gather round her, miner's lady, stranger to blue water. dark and dusty, painted on the sky. Missed your taste of moonshine, teardrops in my eye. Country road, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country roads. I hear the voice in the morning hour she calls me. Radio reminds me of my home far away. Driving down the road, I get a feeling that I should have been home yesterday. Yesterday, country road, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country road, country road, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country road, take me home, down country road, take me home, down country road.
Take me home, country roads, John Denver music. Good stuff, one of the songs that you'll be hearing in Almost Heaven, John Denver's America. And good stuff there. That is Sarah and Steven. And Steven, I got to say, watching you, both of you, you were having fun.
Oh, yeah.
That
how
was,
can you
that
not?
Was cool.
On country roads.
But Steven, when you were singing, you had a Johnism.
Yeah.
You've got the cheeks. I mean, when you're singing, you look like John singing because you've got the cheekbones and the smile.
I mean,
that you carried that character off without, I don't even know if you were even trying to look like John right now.
There's a certain amount of just, I mean, how much he talks about how he writes how he feels. And so it's hard not to feel what he's feeling in terms of just like the excitement and the love that you mm-hmm. get to sing this song. I mean, it's really one of those sort of just folk bops that you just hear when it comes on, you can't help but sing it. And so it's very easy.
Now, obviously, you guys are a little bit familiar with some of the bigger hits. Most people at least have heard them in passing. But as we've mentioned a few times, rehearsals haven't started yet.
Mm-hmm.
So have you sung together outside of before the show in the conference room when you were warming up? I mean, have you ever sung together?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. We did get together Wednesday deciding what we wanted to do.
Yeah, okay. That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys really work well together.
Oh, thank you.
We do what we can.
Imagine how much better it'll be after 2 weeks of direction from Linda.
Come to the show.
Now, there's you were talking about, you know, you write your own songs and you don't have a band yet.
Not yet.
This could be a really good little folk duo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
hey, there you go.
You're into folk music.
I am.
Mm-hmm. You obviously are into a little of everything.
Yeah.
And you harmonize well. You both play guitar. I'm seeing a side career here.
I've been trying to start a band.
Mm-hmm.
I've been.
I think
like,
we have
day.
The roots here. I think Linda's had her way with you and is all done, you guys have a career together.
Great.
Go. Look at that. It's going to happen.
Wow. Linda, what do you think of the songwriting, or not the songwriting, but the performance style of these young folks who have never really sang together?
Well, I think it can't be beat. I mean, I was just sitting here thinking the same thing, that this is after them getting together once. Just wait until we get them together for a rehearsal period, add three more fantastic actor-musicians, add three full musicians. It's going to be unstoppable.
Wow. Now, how brutal are you going to be? They're young, they're excitable, they're having a good time, but now the serious work starts.
I am very mean.
She says with a smile, I'm very mean.
Well, I mean, rehearsals are really intense because, you know, as we said, about 25 songs, and we have only 2 weeks of rehearsal. But on the other hand, and we rehearse full days, you know, it's usually 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
and then people go home and do homework and come back the next day and do it all over again. And that one of the things that's going to be fun about this show is because it is not, as you were saying before, a scripted play in the same way with characters that are specific, that are, or even an impression of an Elvis or someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of leeway to bring the personality of the performers into the show. And so I'm really excited. I've done my prep work of where I think it's going, but I can't wait to get in the room with these people and really mine what they bring and, you know, feelings that they may have about the songs or about the the historic biographical information and really shape it into a piece that represents all of us.
Okay. Well, we've met Stephen and Sarah here today and got to know them quite well. Tell me a little about the other three actors that are part of this.
Sure. Tommy Maliff, as was mentioned earlier, played Johnny Cash in our production of Million Dollar Quartet. And he's going to be very different in this show than he was as Johnny Cash. And I'll even tell you a quick story. When we knew he was auditioning for this, both Bill Underwood, the music director, and I thought, that's great, we love him, but I don't know, I can't imagine him sounding this way. And he sang Sunshine on My Shoulders for his audition and played the banjo, and we both opened our eyes to, wow, I had no idea he had that style and sound in him as well. And so he's going to be just as charming as he was in Million Dollar Quartet, but completely different from what he was in that show.
So he surprised you.
He surprised us in a great way, yes.
Okay.
Andrew Mueller, it's his first time working at Theater at the Center. He is also a fantastic actor-musician. I first knew Andrew. I saw him in several non-musical plays. He's a really terrific actor. He was in the off-Broadway company of Peter and the Starcatcher for a while. I also saw him in Rent at the Paramount Theater. So I've seen him do a lot of contemporary, more rock and roll kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little different style from what I've seen him do. But again, you know, another person who came into the audition and was exactly what we were looking for. Shannon McEldowney, I've worked with once before in our production of The Pajama Game. She was the swing, which means she was the external understudy covering the three female dancers in the show. So I first got to know her as a musical theater dancer performer, and then again was so pleasantly surprised when she came in and sang a John Denver song and played the guitar. And that's something I love about the actors in Chicago, is they all can do so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really fun part of my job to have people who I thought I knew come in and constantly surprise me.
Stephen had mentioned that there are no pirouettes in this, but what kind of dancing? You mentioned dancing.
Well, that's what he thinks.
Yeah, I stopped saying that. Sorry.
You
about
just
that.
Totally jinxed yourself.
I jinxed myself.
No, it's not a big dance show. Partially because, you know, they're not big grand dance songs, mm-hmm. that John Denver wrote. But we might have a little fun with a little hoedown at some point in time. And also a lot of the time they're going to be holding and playing instruments. So that's going to get in our way of too much choreography. But I do think there are going to be a few moments when we get to cut loose a little bit.
Okay. Someone had mentioned the costuming. This is kind of a period piece, but I mean, you're covering three decades.
Right.
What kind of costuming is there? And will the characters be changing costumes and looks to take John from the 60s to the 90s?
No, we decided that not to put quite that fine a point on it. Brenda Winstead is our costume designer, and she, when we first met, had all the research, as you said, taking him from the 60s to the 90s, and where do we want to fall in there? Do we want to change clothes? But it's not really a history piece. It's more the celebration of the music, and of course the music is informed by the time. But we have decided to land more on the suggestion, the feel. I mean, when most people picture John Denver, they picture that mid-70s to mid-80s sort of look.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that fashion is still fashionable now. Maybe not the exact same lines and patterns, but the suggestion of those periods are still really popular now. So we are sort of embracing that era, but also that they wouldn't look ridiculous if they walked down the street right now. So it's going to be, the look we're hoping for is something contemporary, so it's relatable, but suggests the time period from which we best know John Denver.
Okay. Are you surprised at how much Stephen can look like John when he puts the glasses on? And like I said, the singing with the cheekbones and the smile, that was something I hadn't seen the whole hour he's been here until he started singing.
I was surprised. And in looking, you know, we don't want, you know, we're not trying to do an impression. We're not trying to do an impersonation. It's more the essence of him and the style. But I think you're right. I think Stephen naturally has a lot of that. And he's stylistically going to really fit that really well.
What's going to be the hardest part of bringing this production, now that you're getting ready to start, of bringing it to the final opening curtain?
It's a lot of pieces. Whenever you have actor musicians, there's just a lot more elements to rehearse. The arrangements, the instrumentation, as well as the acting piece of it. And all the moving parts of, as Sarah mentioned earlier, there's going to be so many instruments and chairs and stools, and just the minutia of tracking everything is the boring part. But then the overall picture of finding a nice shape to the evening, so people that are already fans of John Denver will get to celebrate the music that they already know, and people that maybe don't know as much, maybe know one or two of his more popular songs, will get introduced to some of the music that they didn't know before.
Okay. How has the response been? Once you put this on sale and people heard about it, did you get a lot of positive response from the public saying, wow, John Denver, hadn't thought of him in years, and this is going to be a great show? I mean, or have you had to really push this show to remind people who he was?
I have to say it's been really mixed. There have been some people who, oh, I love John Denver, I can't wait. Other people, as you say, oh, yeah, John Denver, that's interesting. And then some other people, well, I'm not so sure about that. But to those people, I say, hey, I wasn't sure about it either. Mm-hmm. and trust me, it's really going to be great.
Theater of the Center is a three-quarter round. It's like performing in the round, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a three-quarter. I mean, there's so many aspects. A stage, you know, where it's surrounded by three sides. What is that, a thrust?
Yes.
But it's also circular.
Okay. And again, as we've mentioned on the show, I mean, there's really not a bad seat in the house. The sight lines are unblocked. The acoustics are really brilliant in there. The sound system they've got is pretty impressive. Every show I've seen there, I have not been able to critique it in any kind of negative way from audio, visual, or talent. It seems like everything, when you go to the Theater at the Center, I guess the one word I'm thinking of is consistency. It's always at a certain level. And Linda, have you found that to be the case as well since you've been there these almost 5 years?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for that compliment. But yes, that's something that we really strive for, is I think that it is a really high level across the board, and to keep that, to keep it there and to continue to make it even stronger.
Now, one of the things also that's unique about the theater that I really like to underscore with people, because we take for granted often the fact that you have free parking. And in Indiana, you can do venues where there is free parking. You go to Chicago, you're going to pay as much for parking as you will to see the entire show at Theater at the Center.
You're right. And even once you've paid for that parking, you sometimes have to walk a few blocks.
That's true.
And in January, February, I know I don't want to do that.
What's next for the two of you guys, as far as once John is out of your system? Are you already auditioning for other plays?
Yeah, there might be a few things that are happening and percolating, but I think excited to, I don't know, I would like to start doing some musician-y stuff, so probably okay. Once the John Denver stuff's out, then try to get some other things going.
Actors live from their last show to the next show. How hard is it, as working actors, to be learning 25 songs for Linda and then still keeping your eyes on the horizon for the next role and then going to audition and then maybe already starting to learn some of that while you're still learning this mm-hmm. show? You can almost have, like, separate your brain, I would think, into quadrants.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of compartmentalizing.
Okay.
I think the actor-musicianship aspect adds a special challenge to it. For me at least, I can't speak for anyone else, but learning a bunch of different shows when it's just like dialogue, songs, and dancing,
I'm used to that. I know how to compartmentalize. What Linda said about how Shannon was a swing, I've done that before, where mm-hmm. you've learned like six parts in one show. And so I in college I did that, and I did like another show simultaneously. So I got really good at being able to say, okay, well, this is what this show entails, and this is what this show entails. So yeah, you do have to get really organized. I mean, I broke out my score when we were doing the Colorado song. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, it's color coded. So you just have to get really organized, and you have to, yeah, I find like having a planner and color coding things and just keeping my brain active to do it.
A swing and mm-hmm. Learn multiple understudy parts, you pretty much have to memorize the entire production.
Yeah.
Every line of every actor and every part of the blocking. I mean, everything has to go in your head.
Yeah.
You get very selective about what you're learning and what you're not learning. So there's like certain parts where you're like, oh, I don't have to worry about that. But I know this section explicitly down to like where every chair is moving. Mm-hmm. That's all I did last year was just understudying and swinging. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. It was at cool theaters. But it is probably the hardest thing. And I think that's a shout out to all of those understudies out there where it's an unsung job. But it's
I mean,
it prepares you really well to do a show like this where you're like, okay, I'm playing guitar.
It's almost like being a super actor. In many ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great skill to have, and I admire everybody who does it. And I think the work that I have done in that has really informed how I approach anything now, because it does. Like you said, it's a lot of compartmentalization and organization and prioritizing. And
prioritizing.
Well, Sarah, you mentioned that you had done a role on Chicago Fire.
I did.
Okay, so you're a stage actor, and that's mm-hmm. primarily what you've been doing. I'm going to throw this at you in a minute, Stephen. So is the goal here to eventually go into film and TV? Do you want to do it all? Do you have a preference?
I do a good mix of, I think, pretty much every medium. I've done a bunch of voiceover work, too. I think that my approach to it is just, like, I want to do anything I can. There isn't necessarily one medium I prefer, I think. Like, if I'm doing a lot of theater, I'll miss the other things. If I'm doing a lot of the other things, I'll miss theater. So it's all part of the puzzle, and you got to try to get the right pieces at the right times.
Well, I know when I was working as a publicist on some film projects back in the 80s, there's a lot of hurry up and wait. There's a lot of mm-hmm. three-day waits for a short shoot. When you were doing TV, was that frustrating? Because when you're on stage, you get instant gratification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you're interacting right then and there in the moment. And to do it on camera, it seems like retakes and waiting and grabbing a coffee and getting your makeup touched up. It seems like it would get monotonous for someone with a creative drive.
Well, in my episode of Chicago Fire 2, I had a stunt double, so I really got to sit back.
Wow.
But, I don't know. I don't mind it. I think it's... Like I said, because all of those different mediums are so different mm-hmm. that whenever you do something, even if it is a lot of waiting, it's still exciting because it's new and it's a different kind of thrill mm-hmm. for sure. There's the live audience in front of you is something that's so novel and so exciting and it's so you can feel the energy around you. But there's also something so cool about like 3 months later being like, there I am. So
mm-hmm. binge on yourself a little bit.
No.
I think we're all going to go home and binge. You said it was the Wow Me episode season 3.
Yes.
So we're going to all go
everybody
over.
Check it
we're
going to
binge on Sarah tonight. That's your assignment.
Oh, thanks.
Stephen, what about you? Have you done anything on big or small screen?
I mean, yeah, I've done a few voiceovers. I did a Mike's Hard Lemonade commercial this summer. Mm-hmm. That was the most
Did you get free product?
They gave me the product. Well, because we had to open a bottle and they're like, you can have that if you want. And I was like, good. I have other things to do today.
There's your perk.
It was at like noon. I do a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and music work as well whenever mm-hmm. the gig mm-hmm. happens. And so yeah.
Okay. Any desire to go further into the screen work?
I mean, I'm kind of game for whatever. I personally love theater, and that's kind of where my heart is now. But I'm definitely. That's not the end game, but if it were there, why not?
Linda, what about you? Have you done anything on screen? You've had your life in theater.
It's true. I've done nothing that you would have seen. I've done several like corporate videos, training videos, or those type of on-camera things, but I haven't done anything network or movie yet.
Hmm. Well, you've taken directing in a whole new way, and that's become a big part of your life at this point. Any thoughts of directing either corporate films, short films, or any TV?
No, that doesn't have any appeal to me at this point, and I think it's because I just don't know the technique of it enough. I just haven't been on a film set enough to understand all of those pieces. I'm not the kind of person that watches a movie and notices the camera angles and notices the takes, and so my brain just doesn't work that way. My eye doesn't work that way.
Okay.
So as Sarah was talking about the immediacy of an audience, that's just something that I love so much in directing for theater, is the magic, for lack of a better word, that seems so cliche, but of the theater, that it exists in that time and place with that group of people in the room, and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're doing the same show the next night, it's not ever exactly the same because there's different people sitting in the audience.
Right.
And their energy and their breath, and so bringing all of those elements together in the live room is so exciting to me.
I know that Dick Van Dyke once said that doing TV was kind of boring until they started filming, when I Love Lucy and all of that started filming in front of a live audience. It was the best of both worlds, as he put it, because
sure,
you had that instant gratification and you didn't need the laugh track so much. So maybe that's something for all of you guys to look into. Live TV is coming back.
It's coming back.
Mm-hmm. Big way. Single and triple camera shoots, everything. We're going to play one more song. We're going to come back with everyone and say goodbye and do any final commentaries on the show. You guys were talking about Sunshine on My Shoulders, and we're going to go back again to the Wildlife Concert. This is John Denver.
My shoulders makes me happy. Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine on the water looks so lovely. Sunshine almost always makes me high. If I had a day that I could give you, day just like today. Yes, I would. If I had a song that I could sing for you, I'd sing a song to make you on my shoulders makes me happy. Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine on the water looks so lovely. Sunshine almost always makes me high. If I had a tail
that I could tell you. I'd tell a tale sure to make you smile. If I had a wish that I could wish for you, I'd make a wish for sunshine all the while. On my shoulders makes me happy. Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine on the water looks so lovely. Sunshine almost always makes me high. Sunshine almost all the time makes me high. Almost always.
Applause, applause, Sunshine on My Shoulders. Another one of those tunes, along with Rocky Mountain High, Country Roads, Annie's Song. So many songs, 25 songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have your work cut out.
We had to not have some in there. In terms of the show, we had to cut them out for John Denver songs.
Wow, good stuff. Linda, you're still with us?
I am.
What are some of the deeper songs? Obviously, you're going to have all the hits in there. What are some of the deeper songs that come to mind?
Deeper songs? You mean like ones that maybe aren't as well known? Or?
Right. More album cuts, things like earlier, I opened up with Eagles and Horses, which I think is a brilliant song from him. But people don't know it. But it's,
right.
You know, it's part of this album.
Well, some of the ones that I think, All My Memories, Rhymes and Reasons, Poems, Prayers and Promises, I realize they're all list titles that I'm texting
right,
you.
Right.
Those are all ones that I didn't really know. I'm Sorry, which is a really lovely song. One that's the last song that he ever wrote, Yellowstone, is in the show at the end of the show, which he actually never recorded. But he wrote it in the last year of his life, and for his last 4 to 6 months of touring, he played that as his encore at almost every concert in the final year of his life, but he never made a recording of it.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah.
So no one ever, I mean, there's no way it's in a vault somewhere, even a demo version
No, there is a demo version.
Okay.
There is a version of him singing it, and I think it's not, I'm fairly certain, I may be misspeaking here, but I think that the version that exists of him singing it is not complete. He added some verses later, but there was never a studio recording of it.
Okay, all right. Is there anything we haven't covered, Linda, since you did listen to the whole show here, that you think is important to bring out about this production or the theater or the actors?
Wow, I think you've covered it all. I mean, as you've mentioned, we haven't started rehearsal yet, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot more gems that we discover through our rehearsal process that we could have let you in on, but we don't even know those things yet.
Okay. I asked if you two had worked together before. You had met, but you hadn't worked together. What about the other members of the cast? Have you either of you worked with any of them?
It's funny because I met Andrew just like a couple days before we had like a photo shoot, and now I see him everywhere, which is great. He's a cool guy. But yeah, and then Tommy, I just worked with for Patsy Cline. He was one of our drummers, and Yeah, those guys are great. I actually haven't met Shannon yet.
Shannon is roommates with one of my best friends, so I know her pretty well.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, but I have not worked with anybody else in the cast either. So we've all met now, and they're all super cool. I'm really excited to work with them.
So it's like 6 degrees of John Denver.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah.
Wow.
John Denver brings us all together.
There you go. In a harmonious ensemble style. Five cast members. I am looking forward to this. February 16th, it opens, and then it closes March 22nd. And again, there are multiple shows, performances at 2 p.m. on Wednesdays and Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Fridays, 3 p.m. and 7:30 on Saturdays, and a matinee on Sunday at 2:30. Ticket prices range. You can get all the details at theateratthecenter.com. Box office, also information, and you can order your tickets there, 219-836-3255. There are discounts for groups, and there are discounts for students. So keep that in mind if you're a young student and you want to catch some of this great young talent coming up the ranks. Again, I think this is a unique thing because it's bringing old school music with a young cast. I mean, you guys look like you're right out of high school.
Right? Well, thank you.
I mean, maybe I'm just that old. I don't know.
No, I get it all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
They're going to card you at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
So that was my 5 o'clock shadow. Yes.
This is going to be fun. So, Linda, thank you for joining us. And again, any final comments or shout outs to anybody?
I'm just so thrilled with this company. And thank you, Tom, so much for devoting this show to us. And we're really excited to put it together and to have people come and share the music with us.
All right. Well, I'm definitely going to make it to one of those performances, hopefully the 16th, ideally. But thanks again, and don't be too rough on them. They're good kids.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Linda. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. You have your guitar in hand, and we were talking about the fact that you are in the process of trying to write new material and things for yourself. Mm-hmm. Do you want to just do a little noodling for a minute?
Yeah, I'll noodle a little bit.
Okay, noodle for us.
Yeah, whatever. Here we go.
Stephen Romero Schaefer, Sarah Geist, my guest today, Linda Fortunato on the phone, and best of luck, break a leg, or
thank
whatever
you.
I'm supposed to say to you
so
guys.
Thank you.
This will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the show again, Almost Heaven, John Denver's America. Get details at www.theateratthecenter.com. Beautiful room, beautiful cast, great place. And without any further ado, let's take you out with John Denver. We have Chef Nick and Let's Eat coming in. Not sure who his guest is, but I'm sure it'll be tasty. I may stick around and get a few samples. You never know. Stay with us. I'll be back on Tuesday. We'll have Thrill of the Hunt here, talking about collectibles. That's all happening on Tuesday night. This is Annie's Song. Adios.
Senses like a night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses. Come fill me again. Come let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me drown in your laughter. Let me die in your arms. Let me lay down beside you. Let me always be with you. Come, let me love you. Come, love me.